Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
An Erios production.
Would I kill my own baby to save a village?
Would I go back in time and kill Hitler?
Would I take the promotion at work with strings attached?
Would I eat muffins for the rest of my life if it meant I didn't have to go to school?
Would I have Satan's child?
The big ones!
Hi, everybody, and welcome to
The Big Ones.
I'm Maria.
And I'm Amanda.
And this is The Big Ones. Each week, we discuss new ethical questions ranging from historical decisions to relationship problems to brain-busting moral choices.
The problems can be complicated to discuss, but they're always fun to talk about because they force you to look deep, deep, deep within inside yourself. Will you like what you see? Gabby Dunn.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm a big fan of you both and this network, and I'm just so happy to be here.
Welcome, Gabby. Thank you for doing it. It's great to have someone who wants to be here.
I said this about web crawlers too. I was like, why are you letting a stalker on your show? It makes no sense.
Gabby does call into the web crawlers hotline. I love
and when
it.
When I did, Melissa and Allie were like, Gabby Dunn? Like, we know her?
She can text us. I don't know why she's calling into this hotline.
Yep.
I like it. She's using the proper protocols.
That's
the
right.
Channels,
yes.
Of course.
Yeah, with I appreciate that.
If you want to talk to us about podcasting, you better go through the proper channels.
Yes, it's true.
This is work.
It is.
Well, Gabby, thank you so much for being on. You guys know Gabby because she's a author. She's a podcaster. Honestly, the fact that you've published two books is insane to me, and it's really nice.
Thank you. Three books. And a graphic novel.
Whoa.
I had, in 2019, this will never happen again, but in 2019, I had three books come out in 2019. I had a book come out in January, a book come out in May, and a book come out in October.
Maybe they're short. Wait, let's get the page count. How long are they?
Yeah.
One was a book I'd been working on for a long time that just happened to come out in January, which was the Bad with Money book, which is nonfiction. Then the sequel to myself and my podcast partner, Allison Raskin's book, came out. So that was like a YA thing that she and I had worked on. And then that was a sequel. So I don't know. Sequels are a little easier, I guess. And then the graphic novel. And then the last one was a comic book. But then this Boom Studios, who I worked with, were like, when you promote it, you have to say graphic novel.
Of course.
Interesting. Well, that is three books in a year. That must have been a fun year.
It was. It was the last fun year ever.
Yeah.
Because that was 2019. And then everything is was done.
And then what podcasts are you doing right now? What are your active podcasts?
Oh yeah. So I have the Just Between Us podcast, which my Allison Raskin and I do, which is like interviews and also advice and general sort of like tangents about our lives. And then it's a lot of mental health stuff, and also queer stuff. And then I have a show called Bad with Money, which is just a finance podcast for beginners that just started season 7. It's coming out now, and it's just like I've been doing it forever. And it's just like, you know, a money podcast where you're like, OK, my first question is, what is money? Like, it's really it just starts and it lives in reality where like I'll never be like, ask your parents for $10,000. So you could start a business like you're Jeff Bezos. Like, I always am just like, listen, guys, like, here's how to not get screwed by unemployment taxes. Mm. Like, we are not at that level.
Have you guys seen his before and after, from before he was rich and after he's rich?
I look at it every day, every morning. I take a look at that.
because it's shocking. Hold on, let me. I'm gonna find it for you guys, and then you're gonna. Okay. You're gonna be. Blown
it's
away.
Just he had. It's the celebrity transformation. It's the money transformation. When people get a certain amount of money, they start to glow.
He looks better.
Gabby, oh, yeah. He looks insane. Like he looks. Hold on. We're okay. You guys are gonna freak out. Okay, I'm gonna share this with you. Okay, share screen. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Oh, I see. I see.
So what we're looking because at here is there's a worm on the left and there's like a robot.
There's like a robot, like superhuman on the right.
He became like Iron Man. He used to be, he literally went into a superhero, like whatever the superheroes go into and they like, they vibrate and then they come out and all of a sudden they have their powers. He did that.
He's Chris Evans at the beginning of Captain America, and now he's Chris Evans at the end of Captain America.
And the another thing I'll say that he kind of looks like is, you know, an Interview with a Vampire when they bite each other and then they like turn really beautiful.
Well, here's the thing. So there's always that thing of, I mean, first of all, your show is about ethics and you want to talk about how becoming a billionaire, there's nothing ethical about it.
Of course not. No one should be a billionaire. It doesn't make any sense. No,
you can't have any ethics with regard to it. But there's also like the thing where you'll see, I saw a thing that was like billionaires and they're dressed like shit. They're just like wearing like fucking nothing, like sweatpants and like a fucking Patagonia. And then like you'll be like, that's billionaires. And then millionaires are the ones who are like dressed in Prada and Gucci and whatever. And it's because when you've reached billionaire, fuck you, man. I'm going to walk in flip-flops and you're going to have to handle it.
Oh, right? See, I think we all have billionaire energy.
Well, I'm a thousandaire and that means that I just wear a lot of Gap.
A lot of Gap.
A lot of Gap. Well, I went to...
Oh God, Old Navy. My mom used to take us to Old Navy on July 5th so that you could get July 4th stuff for that's a sale, baby.
Why is it so cheap? Why is it so cheap?
It's the day after.
Oh my God.
That's why you go to the grocery store and all that on November 1st. Because all the October 30th, all the Halloween stuff is like half
you
off.
Stock up on candy. That's right.
Yeah. I'm not a dummy. No dummy over here.
Well, I just, you know, when you get a certain amount of money, there's some sort of procedures you can get that all of a sudden turn you into something that you never were before. And it's shocking to me. And it's, I question it. And I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
It's filler. It's veneers. It's veneers largely.
All right, Gabby. Well, what kind of moral dilemma do you need help with?
Well, okay, well, this is an interesting quandary, but there's a couple things. One is just, I want to get your read on this because this already happened, but, okay. So my grandmother passed away in 2018, and her whole life, like, I guess when I was starting at age, like mid 20s, she, lied about her age. She made herself like three years younger.
Wow.
And so, and then she just kept it up, like to the point that like my dad was like, I think you're owed social security. And she was like, no. And so kept it up. Always was like, you know, I had your father when I was 20. It's not true. Like just like would tell stories, like totally committed to this lie. Then she passed away. And we were left with the conundrum of what birthday to put on her tombstone.
Oh, my gosh.
Her real birthday or the birthday she always told us.
Oh, my God.
Birthday she always told you.
That's what I'm going to do. It's interesting, though, because, okay, grandma's, she's up in heaven or wherever she likes to be. Mm-hmm. She's hopefully unbothered by the mortal drama at this point. Whereas generations moving forward, like they'll want an accurate history of their family timeline. Although a couple of years here and there might seem inconsequential. I don't know. I feel like from a historian's perspective, you'd want to get that accurate.
it throws my dad's age into flux. Like, it really, like, because all the stories are sort of in weird, like, time orders. And, like, it, she'll be like, oh, I was in this country in this year. And I'll be like, well, how old was dad? And she'll be like, oh, he was 6 months. But, like, that doesn't make sense. And so, historically, right. It is hugely inaccurate all around. But that makes me think about, like, in history, how often are the things just, like, what the people wanted us to think and not the actual reality?
Oh, I think that's all of history.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, but even, like, interpersonally, not like, oh, Napoleon was here or whatever, but, like, my mom's going through Ancestry.com and you, like, can't find anyone.
It's and yeah, look, the ancestry trails, I've been down them. They can get really murky. People can start the way people spelled things.
Exactly.
All of a sudden there's an I before an E. So all of a sudden there's an O in the last name. And you're just mm-hmm. like, well, what is that? What's that? And then it will just be like, it seems like sometimes just people got a little sloppy in the record keeping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know. But this was like. A purposeful, like, we found out her age from, like, a ship's manifest that we, like, found. So we know her real birthday, but, like a 1947 ship's manifest. But, like, so what do we do with the tombstone?
Okay, so I have an idea. What if you put the accurate dates and then underneath it you put, like, but somehow she was only this yeah. old when she died?
Yeah, you could say, like, died at age, you know, so-and-so, but then have, which is the age she told everyone, but then have the dates, her actual dates under it.
It's
write that on the tombstone.
It's wordy.
Rather yeah. than, like, beloved mother, grandmother, yeah. like, it just says, like, she was actually this age, which she told everyone, but yeah. we're just telling the guy to carve it into the stone.
Well, you put the dates and then under it, and then you go, but she told everyone she was blah, blah, blah.
Now, what?
I think she would hate that.
What was the reason she was lying about her age? Was it, like, the typical woman thing of, like, I want to seem younger?
Well, so she was married 3 times. And the third husband is the one that stuck. That was, like, my parent. They never had biological children, but he was our grandpa growing up. And, like, he was my dad's stepdad and everything. And she was lying to him. Because she had 2 ex-husbands, but it was 1955 and she was a single mother and she didn't want him to think that she had 2 ex-husbands. So it was, like, more palatable to be like, I have 1 ex-husband.
Wait, so she lied about the amount of husbands she had as well as her age?
So how many husbands are you going to put on the tombstone?
So she put, now as I'm speaking about this, it is a larger web of lies. But so she lied and said that she only had one ex-husband. And so then my grandfather, Pepe, who was a doctor, was like, okay, I'll marry you and adopt your 2 kids from your previous marriage. And she was like, great. But then it came out later that she had actually had 1 husband before that other husband and that my dad was actually from that other husband and was only half siblings with his sister.
And what did your grandpa say about that when that came out?
He never found out.
He didn't. Wow.
It came out after he had died?
No. We knew about it.
No one told Pepe?
Whoa. This is wild.
Well, he knows now.
Is he still alive?
No, he's
okay,
dead.
He knows.
So,
yeah.
So when my dad found out that that was not his actual father when he was like 40.
And no, so then he started, stop.
No, he kind of found out when he was 21 because he wanted to take Pepe's last name. And so he went and got, like, the birth certificate to take Pepe's last name. And the last name on the birth certificate was different than his last name as he knew it. So he kind of figured that he maybe had a different dad.
Whoa.
But then he just changed his last name to Dunn and never said anything to anyone. And I think he at one point it was like 19. I don't know, 60 something. So he called the FBI offices and were like, hey, is there a way to track down or whatever? And the FBI, whoever he spoke to on the phone was like, you know, he probably has a new family and he doesn't want to meet you and it's not worth pursuing.
The FBI said that? Like, Jesus.
I think so. Like a guy that my dad called. Well, because it was the 60s. So it was like, you're probably just like a from an affair and like, don't ruin this man's life and like, just, you know, drop it. And so my dad was like, okay. So he dropped it.
Wow.
Then when he was 40, my mom was like, wait, what the fuck? And my mom was like, I think you should pursue this. And so then they hired a private investigator, and the private investigator found my dad's biological father. We did not tell Maymay. Maymay is the grandmother. We did not tell Maymay because it would hurt her feelings. And so when I was like six, we like met my dad's real dad. And then we were in touch with him and went and visited him and hung out with him and did not tell Maymay and Pepe for a long time. And then Maymay found out that we were doing it and was like, fine, but I don't want to know anything about it. And then me as a child was told, don't tell Pepe.
Oh my wow. God. So I think this pattern of secrecy and lies needs to stop with you, Gabby. You need to put an end to this. And the first step is for you to put the accurate date on the tombstone.
Yeah. I think you're right. At the beginning of this conversation, I was like, no, let the lie continue. But now I'm just hearing about this perpetual lie circle that's happening here. And I'm going, you need to put your foot down here.
Okay, but wait. So Maymay's a complicated figure. Also, one time I was like 11 and I was in the car with Pepe and I said something about going to see Virgil, who's my dad's dad. And I was like, oh yeah, we went there with Virgil. And Pepe was like, who's Virgil? And I, at 11, was like, fuck. And I was like, my mom's friend. Like, I'm 11 having to fucking cover for these adults, first of all.
Right.
But us. And then my dad, we were like, Pepe must know. Like, he must know. But he never said anything. We never said anything. Like, we never directly acknowledged it with Maymay until Pepe was dead. Like, it was a whole, but it was a whole thing. But Maymay's a complicated figure because obviously it's 1955. She's living in poverty. She has two kids. She's an immigrant. She's like, I need to marry this doctor. They loved each other, but she was like, I got a doctor on the hook. I work at a hotel. Like, I live in a one bedroom with my two kids. I need to marry this doctor. And like, if I can do that by, you know, in the 50s, I don't want him to be like, it's a stain on my family name to marry a twice divorcee. So she kind of was like, I got to do what I got to do, man. Like, I got to say that I'm younger. I got to say that I'm only divorced once. And she pulled herself right up in the way that only a woman in 1955 can. She's also like, there's also a lot going on where like, she's a Holocaust survivor. And so like, sometimes when I talk about her with my therapist is like, you just got to do what you got to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, my feelings on this, if for everyone who also heard our episode on Bridgerton, that I was all about that pregnant young woman tricking the man into marriage, because I'm like, hey, the cards are stacked against you. And I think Maymay sounds like an incredible woman. I think she shouldn't have done anything different. But I also like to think now, you know, that she's, you know, moved on to whatever's next. She's ready to sort of let that go and she can just not have to be such a survivor anymore. Maybe.
It's also wild how much she just like didn't like just like kept things and like didn't say anything. And like, was she like, when I was younger, I used to not like her because I thought she was mean. She had a real Lucille Bluth energy. Mm-hmm. But then as I got older, I started like inviting it. Like, I wanted to see what she would say. And like, I like interviewed her for my book that came out, in 2019, but she passed away before the book actually came out. Aww. But I interviewed her for the book and I asked her, like, you know, I asked her, do you care about what happens to any of us after you die? And she was like, no.
See, there you go. She does not give a shit about her tombstone.
She care.
She truly did not give a shit. It was so great. She used to, every time I would tell her something about my life, she would go, well, you're a very interesting girl.
How old did she live until?
Who the fuck knows?
That's the big question.
Right. She made us. You want to talk about ethics? Wait, do you want to talk about ethics? When I was 18, when I was in college, she made the entire family, like 15 people, everybody. She made all of us go to Las Vegas for her 80th birthday and spend all this money and go to these nice restaurants, go to all this stuff, do like a 4 or 5 days of Vegas celebrating her 80th birthday, go all out, take all of our time and all of our money to do it. And then all of us whispering as it's going on, like, she's fucking 83. Like, is this, what is going on? She's like, not even like lying, like, not even lying with like some shame. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Fully balls out lying. Like say something, like literally sitting at the head of the table, like looking at all of us being like, say something. Say I'm not 80. Say I'm not 80. Say something.
But you know what that also is doing? It's bringing your family together, because then you all have something to talk about behind her yeah. back, which brings you all together. Yeah. It puts you all on the same page as to grandma's That's really true. 83. What's going on here? And then it just makes everyone have a better time because everyone's just talking about the same thing. That's what I think. I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool thing to do, actually, is to tell a lie to a big group of people and then have them have a really nice weekend talking about it.
bold and selfless. So wild.
Well, I think you put, you know what, you put the I say you put the dates she wanted on there and you just call it a day.
We ended up putting her fake birthday.
You did. It's probably yeah. the right move, honestly.
Let her have it.
I mean, and who's to say somehow it wasn't accurate?
Well,
you know, it's accurate in your heart.
Yeah.
Age
so accurate
is
in
it
your
real?
Heart.
Age is fake.
You could always add some quotation marks around the birth year. Those are easy. You just scratch, I'll get a Sharpie, just tack them on.
Yeah. Let her have it. You know what I mean?
Now, Gabby, what we do before we get to our big, big one, we just have our guests, because they're sick of listening to us, just please tell people to rate and review and join our Patreon, because if they don't, then they're hurting us.
And I'll just say real quick, while Gabby does this, I have to go pee. And so I'm going to run and do that while Gabby does this, but I'll take out the headphones, Jack, so I can still, I'll be listening.
Oh, okay, great.
So no funny business. She'll hear you.
Hi, guys. Are you tired of physically and emotionally and mentally hurting Maria and Amanda by not joining their Patreon or leaving an Apple review of 5 stars and a review of the podcast? Well, that's an easy fix. You can just join the Big Ones Patreon or go to Apple reviews and leave a review and 5 stars. And then it will cease Amanda and Maria's endless physical, mental, physiological, emotional, spiritual pain. Thanks.
Perfect.
Was that useful?
That was great. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get to our big, big one.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, we're back. Okay, so this big, big one I pulled from my deck of Chuck Klosterman hypotheticals.
Oh, wow.
Which is just, I don't know what it is. I guess you could call it a game. But anyway, we pull from there every once in a while. We haven't done one. We haven't done one in a while.
We do. You know, we do on Just Between Us, we do a segment called Hypotheticals.
Oh.
Which Allison writes, and they come from her brain, because she would do this as like a way to not do small talk. She would do hypotheticals with people in real life. And so we made it a segment on the show. And the hypotheticals are nuts. Like they're split up into game shows. And one of the game shows is, would you stay with this cheater? One of the game shows is, do you lie or tell the truth? One of the game shows is this person an alien or just rude? One of them is, are you a terrible parent? They're all like, it's so intense.
We should do a crossover.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, you really should, because they are very intense. They're like, they'll be like, your child sneaks out in the middle of the night, and so you and your husband and the younger child stage a robbery and a break-in and then hide in the closet so that when they come back they think that everyone was kidnapped and robbed, and then then they find out and they never run away again. What do? You never sneak out again. Like, it's all shit like that. Or it'll be like, you're on a cruise ship and you're at the buffet, someone comes up to you and whispers in your ear, no, you're doing this wrong, and then starts putting food on your plate. Are they an alien or just rude. Like, it's all, it's, I mean, I'm not even doing it justice. It's wild.
These are intense.
We need these.
Yeah, you should have her on because her brain is something else.
If someone started putting food on my buffet plate and telling me I was doing it wrong, I'd literally drop to my knees and just say, this is it. This is no life, no more. It would be too intense.
So I'm prepared. What I'm saying is I have a PhD in hypotheticals.
Great. Okay, so let's see how we feel about this one. You are forced to give up one of your five senses: smell, sight, taste, touch, or hearing. However, you may choose to compensate for the loss by means of synesthesia. For example, if you decide to give up your sense of sight, you can choose to smell colors instead. Or if you give up hearing, you might opt to taste music. If you give up taste, you could replace this sensation by feeling flavors. Basically, whatever sense you reject would be reflected through an alternative medium. Which of your senses would you surrender and how would you replace it?
Wow. So I'm going to just off the bat write the five senses in the group chat just because I'm going to forget what they are.
Okay. Well, some of the, like, okay. So I've seen a lot of documentaries. And we know about people who are blind, and we know about people who can't hear. But in terms of smell, I only really have heard of one person who can't smell, and I think it affects them negatively. This is someone in my sphere of friends. I think it affects them negatively because they sometimes don't know when they need to bathe. Then, in terms of taste, I can't think of anyone I've heard of who can't taste things, so I don't know what that is.
I did hear of a chef who lost his sense of taste.
Is it the guy from Alinea?
He had
tongue cancer.
Yeah, I think that must be who you're thinking of because that's like the famous guy.
Yeah, whoever the famous guy is.
He's the chef at Alinea, which is a 3-star Michelin restaurant. There's a chef's table episode about it. Like I said, documentaries.
Yeah.
And he had tongue cancer and he almost lost his tongue. And he's a chef. Very cinematic and ironic.
Yes.
And then touch, I know, is a hard one because I've seen documentaries about people who they don't have touch. And so they like don't know when they've touched a pan and burned their hand. They don't know when they can't feel pain. I think it's more like they can't feel pain. And so it's a disorder where like you would think, oh, it's great, you can't feel pain, but it's actually bad because they'll like fully break their arms and like not even know.
It's a house episode. There's a house episode about it with the little girl from Blue Crush. Penny from Blue Crush is the girl who can't feel pain.
Also, it reminds me of when you go to the dentist and you have Novocaine and then they're like, don't bite your cheeks because you could chew them all up. And like, that is so disgusting.
Yes.
But I have a question
about
the touch.
It's really hard.
The touch thing, are you feeling numb or are you just, you feel like
nothing?
I don't feel numb all the time.
No, I think you have no sense of like text, like you have no.
So just my hands, but no, can my body?
I think it's, well, I think it's.
So I feel numb. So you're saying I feel numb.
But you know that numb sort of, I guess it is numb, but it's not like when your arm's asleep or you have that tingly feeling, right? It's just like.
Well, that would be what it felt like.
But it's weird because how would you know if you're touching your own hand? Like how would you clap? Like how would you know if you're touching your own leg? Also, what if you're like sitting in a chair for hours and you don't realize the chair is on your foot? Like that's, touch seems to be a real important one.
Well, let's just off the bat. I was like, get rid of touch. At first, I was literally like, get rid of touch. And the more we talk about it, the more insane that sounds to me.
Because let's say you get rid of taste and then you can feel taste. Then if you touch your desk, are you licking your desk?
Well, this is interesting. So what do we all know about synesthesia?
Well, we're about to hear about it from Amanda. I'll tell you that.
Tell us.
I think you guys probably both have it. Synesthesia has been on my radar since I was a child because I've always assigned numbers and letters colors, which is like a very common form of it. But I know some people have it in interesting ways, like as this question lays out, like tasting music or whatever. But my friend Johnny, for instance, gives like gender identities to numbers.
That, yeah,
that's funny.
We're like, yeah, I've heard of that. Somebody posted on like TikTok or something where they were like, math is red and English is blue, and 7 and November and Thursday are all the same.
That's so funny. I see that 7 and November are similar because those are both yellow and orange.
I don't buy synesthesia. I get it. You and John Mayer have it, and you can't. Both of you can't shut up about it. But I don't fully. I think.
Because, but then why do if I say like science is green, like, or if I'm like when Amanda just said Thursday and 7 are both yellow and orange, and I was like yes. Why do we both know that?
Yeah, 7 and November are like yellow and orange, and Thursday's red.
Here's why I think. Because I think that sometime in grade school, there was something that a poster or something that you saw, an animated thing, where you then attributed that to visually what you had seen.
Yeah, I think that's true because I even remember in preschool there was a border I sat right next to that had all the letters. And so like for me, A is red, A apple red. Like that makes sense, right? B is blue, then C is yellow. Like I don't know if that's where I picked it up, but I do think it is. It makes sense, right? Because our I don't know. I feel like there is something that's connected about our senses. And so actually, I was really getting upset about this question for a second when we were talking about what it would be like to not be able to taste and touch. But now that I realize we also have to add in the component of you get to experience through a different sense. That to me is the saving grace. So like if I lose my sense of touch, but I can feel music, that's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
Wouldn't that be overwhelming? That would overwhelm me. You'd always be like,
"Oh!" you just like the ice cream truck goes down the road, and you're like, "Ah!" Yeah. It's too much. That ice cream truck driver is depressed. Like, we had a woman on our podcast who said was reading our handwriting and told us she's like a handwriting expert, and she told a story about how she got a birthday cake from the store and they wrote happy birthday on it. And she looked at it, and from the way the person wrote the Y, she knew that they were depressed.
So she gave the cake back to her. She went, "You need this more than I do.
You need this."
That's incredible.
So it's like that. Like, but okay. So here's what I wouldn't want to do. I would not want to taste smell.
Interesting. I feel like I already do.
Right. You already kind of taste smell and smell taste, and it's bad.
But that's interesting, though, Gabby, because now I'm thinking that that would be a good combo because they're kind of already connected. So say I give up my smell or I give up my taste, but I can smell taste. It would kind of lessen the blow of not being able to taste food.
Because you can still smell it. But if you can smell a really nice casserole, but you can't eat it.
Casserole.
Taste it, that sucks.
Of all the things like to nice smell, Gabby's like, "But that casserole."
Yeah, casserole. Like a it's tuna, got a lot of smells.
A tuna casserole fresh out of the oven.
Tuna noodle.
A tuna noodle. I agree with you. I think that, honestly, giving up your sense of taste would actually be better financially. It would though, right? Because like then you could just kind of like eat, and also health wise, because you could eat literally greens all day and not like, who would care if you had sugar?
But how
because you
depressing
can taste it.
How depressing.
Not if you can then you can smell it.
But then are you smell? So if you smell cake, then that's just the same as if you ate it.
Basically, I could smell cake. I could smell cake, and by smelling it, I'd be tasting it. So therefore, I could smell cake and eat a piece of broccoli and feel like I was eating cake.
Just hold a piece of cake close to your nose and you put the broccoli into that your mouth.
That's exactly what I would be doing.
Imagine going out to eat with her.
You're like, hold on, and you put just like a gummy worm under your nose as you're shoveling lettuce into your mouth.
That's the dream.
Honestly, we could try that now. That might work.
Honestly, it might. Because sometimes when you do smell like a donut or something, it feels like you're eating it.
Yeah.
You have in your pocket like a little Hershey's bar, and every time you go out to dinner, you're just like, sorry, one moment. And you just put one of the little Hershey nuggets up your nose and up the other nose, and then you just eat your salad.
Sometimes when I step in like the ocean or I'm in the shower or bath, I feel like I'm drinking it.
Mm.
Like my feet are drinking the water.
Now, this is interesting because in this dilemma, they say for taste, you said you could give up taste and replace the sensation by feeling flavors, which is kind of an interesting idea.
Feeling flavors.
I don't. What happened to you? Feeling aspect is freaking me out. I don't know what that means. Feel
so. So like if I I guess it would be like there's a piece of chocolate cake and I eat it, and instead of tasting it, like my body gets like what is the feeling of chocolate? It's probably like an orgasm.
Yeah, like what is the feeling of chocolate? Is the feeling of chocolate just like positivity?
Yeah, it's like happiness. But
you're still gaining. You're still getting too much sugar. Like you develop diabetes because you just want to. Like you just haven't had a vegetable and you get scurvy or whatever because you just want to keep eating things that feel.
But
good.
What if eating vegetables felt good where they don't necessarily? And I think vegetables do taste good. But like, what if like you?
There she goes again, Miss.
So
I don't
relatable.
Wake up to eat and I love my veggies.
Relatable.
You guys love vegetables. Come on.
Like some. Have you ever had burnt broccoli? It's
really
delicious.
I do a high roast on my broccoli.
Yeah, oh, so God, good. A high roast. What?
I'm hitting like 450 with that thing.
Of course.
It's so good.
What if you could... Okay. Oh, what if you could smell... sights. So then
I feel like you can almost because you kind of, but I don't know, it's hard to differentiate because you're smelling a smell that's at a sight. Do you know what
right.
I mean?
Yes. Or if, because I can understand, I think we already see, I think we already see smells in this. Hold on. I think because, you know, like when you know, I was thinking about a time when my partner brought me a cup of coffee and it was like this coffee from Honduras that they got and it smelled like my childhood home. And I like smelled it to drink it. And I was like, oh my God, this smells like where I'm from in Florida. But like, I don't know why. I think because it was like a smoky flavor and we went camping a lot. And so there was like this campfire element to like nostalgia. And so I was like, oh my God, this smells like my home. But like, so was that me seeing a smell?
I'm trying.
We are all so stumped. Our brains are broken. But do you know what I mean? Like you smell something and you're like, oh, this is like there's a certain smell.
I think it is. I think that the sense memory when you smell something and you have a feeling, that is what this basically is, I think.
Sometimes I smell something and I'm like, this is a 2005 Hot Topic.
Of course. I mean, smells are the biggest the gateway to nostalgia. Like you could smell something and just like be suddenly taken back. Mm-hmm. It's like a time machine. If I were to invent a time machine, it would just be a bunch of like Abercrombie 8 perfumes lined up. Take you right
back.
Wait,
Maria, I want that movie so badly. It's not Hot Tub Time Machine. It's Abercrombie Cologne Time Machine.
Yeah. You just hold an Abercrombie 8 up to under someone's nose and they're taken back to 2001.
But they're only taken back to like 2001. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so let's final thoughts here. Now, I'm going to just kind of get mine out of the way here.
You're just picking something. I can tell.
We have
also, I love that you've decided, like, final thoughts,
well,
everyone.
Because this is, honestly, all of our brains are short-circuiting and we'll be here all day. Like, I can see us, like, 5 hours from now still just kind of staring off into space, trying to figure out what touching hearing means. But we haven't said anything
hearing.
About...
What is touching hearing? We didn't even go to that
imagine,
one.
Imagine, like, opera.
And it would feel like silk or something? It would feel silky in your hands?
Yeah, I think so. And that is that sort of association to synesthesia. And, like, hard rock might feel like a pounding in your body or something.
That's kind of
cool. We kind
of
already have it. Because if you can't hear, you can still feel the vibrations, right? So it's
Beethoven.
Thank you.
We all know the story, the Beethoven story. He said, take these legs off this piano. And he cut off the legs of the piano so he could feel the vibrations of the floor.
Okay, I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Gabby, did you know?
I did know that, but now as you say it, I'm like, I wonder if that's true.
Could be the lore he created. It could be real. We'll never know.
Ah, God, okay.
None of us should lose our sense of hearing because we all have a career in podcasting. So that would...
My sense of hearing. I'd say, God.
Oh, my God. So, like, at that... Well, we do transcribe the episodes, but it would be hard for me to record my episodes. That is true. Speaking of Maymay and Pepe, a fun thing Pepe would do is when Maymay would be yelling at him, he would turn and look at me and just turn his hearing aid off and then wink at
me.
They sound
so lovely.
Super cute. Okay, so Maria, since you're so gung-ho on solving it, what would you do?
I want to get rid of taste and then just make my smell extra sensory so that I can basically taste smell. And I think that would do me a lot of good.
Okay.
Burnt broccoli.
Broccoli for dessert every night, baby. Broccoli for dessert.
With a donut up your nose.
Yeah, with a donut pressed against my nose.
Okay, this is what I'm going to do. Because I can't lose my hearing because communication is very important to me. I can't lose my touch because I feel like...
Well, you would just learn sign language, but you would have trouble doing podcasts.
I would have trouble doing podcasts. And then touch, I can't lose because that's important to me. Sight, I am a visual person too. And taste, I want to hang on to. So this is what I'm thinking. I lose smell... which sucks because I love like smelling flowers but I also don't, some smells really bother me. So I don't want any sort of enhanced smell sense, but I'm going to lose smell. I'm going to see smell instead. So imagine looking at a beautiful rose and I'd see
maybe some lovely
lines coming out of it. So I feel like that's a good way. Because you don't want to feel smell, because then what if you're passing like a stinky garbage can and then you'd feel like a buzz like or something bad, like a shock.
Yeah.
A buzz.
Now, hold on. You have a shock collar?
Yeah, that's
so
what...
So if you passed by a garbage can, you would have the feeling of a shock collar?
That's what I think garbage feels like.
Wow, okay.
Okay, so that's my answer.
What if you could feel... No. What if you could see... concepts.
Okay. Well, now, where are you going? This is like another sense. Concepts.
Like, what if you could see confusion or like see love?
Feelings.
Yeah, feelings.
Now, wait a second. I just think I came up with a loophole.
Am I just describing like empathy?
Yeah. You're describing like an aura reader. You just want to hire a psychic to come read your aura. You'd be an empath.
Oh, my partner's an empath. It's really bad.
Oh, it's tough. It's tough for them.
They got really upset at Disney World because they could feel all the family drama.
Wow.
Wait,
they could sense all the angry fathers.
Well, I think I came up with a loophole that we would all want to do. What if you can see hearing? So it would almost be like you have like a transcript. So you could still just easily communicate. I think that's a good one. I mean, the only thing that would suck is sort of music. But as far as communication.
But what if you could just see the music?
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. I would maybe I would want to taste hearing.
Ooh.
And that's me throwing a bomb at this. And hear me out. So you could taste hearing. So you could taste like a really good song would taste like pizza or like a really good, although there's some ways in which this doesn't pan out. And that's like if a fire alarm goes off or if.
Yeah, then it just tastes like metal in your mouth.
Yeah, we all agree. Yeah. We all agree that that would taste like metal.
Yeah.
I think I would taste hearing. And that's my choice, and I'm being impulsive, but I stand by it.
Okay, I think it's a mistake, I just have to say, but you're going to have to listen to those were our final answers.
What a brain buster.
So you can hear hearing, but you can also taste hearing.
No.
No.
No, you don't lose hearing. I'm losing taste.
Oh, you want to hear taste. Okay, yeah. I'm into that.
But then how could you taste something if you can't taste?
No, she can't taste.
Even if Gabby can't taste. So
I can't taste, but I can hear taste.
Okay, so you'd be hearing like when you bit into a piece of cake, you'd be hearing the most beautiful song that tasted like cake.
Yes, but I wouldn't taste it. Okay, yes, Maria got it.
I like that one, actually. I think that's cool.
I think that's a beautiful sentiment.
Yeah.
Okay, we did it. I'm very interested to hear what people would do. So please write in and let us know what you would do, because that was a brain buster.
Also, I guess smoke coming out of my ears is me tasting hearing?
Smoke coming out of your ears would be me seeing. Wait.
I think that's a whole other thing. Okay. I don't think that's any of it.
So not everything applies.
Oh my god. Okay. I'm so sorry, you guys. I feel like you had me come on and then I was just really bad at it.
Gabby, get over it. You've been great. And we're not done yet. This is the thing. We have a Dear Big Ones. And I think this one is almost perfectly tailored to you. Okay, so this is your time to shine. So here we go. Hi, Amanda and Maria. I have a big one, which I am hoping you can help me with. I have a friend who I will call Alice. We have been friends for a few years now. Before the pandemic, we spent a lot of time together and we talk every day. There is a problem, however. Alice is well off financially. She owns her own home with no mortgage. How does that happen? And has very few bills as she lives modestly. Her income comes from investments. I am not so well off. I live below the poverty line, receive a small amount of disability, and get by with help from family. The trouble comes when we talk about money. I don't ever bring it up, but she is bringing it up more and more almost every day now. Her investments brought in a little less last month than before, and she is constantly talking about how she does not know what she will do. All her bills are paid. She has money in the bank and a roof over her head. She has food in her fridge. She's told me her parents have offered to give her money if she needs it, but, quote, she isn't that desperate. Me, I had to ask for help more than usual the past couple of months in order to pay my electricity bill. I had to go to a food bank so I wouldn't starve, literally. She knows these things. I don't say that for sympathy, just to let you know the stress I am under right now. I know everyone is having a hard time, but this particular topic is very sensitive. When we first became friends, she treated me to lunch once and grabbed the bill at the grocery store for a few snacks. I thought she was being generous. While I can't financially treat people, I do in other ways. I've brought food to her house to cook. I've crafted things for her. I say this so you know this isn't a one-way street. A week later, she emailed me an itemized bill for half of the lunch and snacks.
Rich people always do that.
We didn't discuss it then, and I guess we should have, but I was so embarrassed. I had told her I couldn't afford to go to lunch at that time, but she insisted and said not to worry about it. I had to ask my sister for money to pay her back. My question is, would I be a bad friend if I tried to steer the conversation away from money? How? If she asked me why, what do I say? I don't want to be mean or sound resentful. I am not. I am glad my friend is not struggling like I am. Thanks, loves.
Okay, first of all, this is not your friend. Second of all, there's this tweet that was like, That was like person with literally $5 in their bank account. Oh, don't worry, coffee's on me. Person who's a millionaire. So yeah, you can hit me back like if you just Venmo me $2.37. And like part of me is like, then I heard people being like, well, that's why they're a millionaire and you're not.
I don't think they're a millionaire because they're getting their $2.
Exactly. But so I was going to suggest being like, maybe you just have to be really open and honest with your friend. Maybe she doesn't know, but it seems like you told her about the food bank. You told her about this other stuff. Like she does know that what's going on with you. Cause sometimes the problem that I face with doing bad with money is that people are just scared to talk about money. They find it taboo. They don't want to tell their friends that they're struggling. They don't want to let people know that they're in a different place financially. So then the other person, you know, talks about, oh, my investments and all these things. And they don't, there's no room for them to read because they don't know the situation. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it seems like this person is just like fully not reading the room that is available to them. It's hard because is there a world in which you could have been like, I actually can't pay you back. I would have to borrow money from my sister to do that. And maybe this person would be like mortified that they even asked you. Or is this a person who would go, okay, borrow it from your sister? Because if so, fuck them. That is not your friend. I don't think you have to be friends with this person. Like it sucks because I think sometimes friendships are hurt by being in from different economic classes. And that happens too with romantic relationships. But like the key to that is being kind to each other and like understanding and like being like, look, I don't come from poverty, but like I understand and love you. And like understanding that it's not always tit for tat because some person might not have tit. Some person might not have tat. Like I think like for me, like with friends, you know, with friends when I was just starting out and I didn't have any money, I was like, when the podcast was starting, I would just say like, hey, I can't meet you for coffee, but you can come to my house. And then friends who are my real friends would be like, sure. And then now like I have, my roommate is like 6 years younger than me. She's like my best friend. And I will like pay for groceries and she'll be like, oh, I'll hit you back. And I'll be like, that's ridiculous. Like, absolutely. You for sure do not have like with what money? Like you for sure do not have to. And I don't see that as like, I barely think about it.
Right.
And that's because like the friendship and the continuing, it's more important than like the itemized bill. Mm. Right. And like, maybe I have less money than I would have in life just because I am the person who's like, I'll get it. Like, I know that you're unemployed and I'm employed and like, I'll get it. But like, that to me just seems like what you do, right?
Right.
I think so. Notoriously, one of my biggest pet peeves is like itemizing a bill at a group dinner. I can't stand it. And I understand that people in different financial situations, like that might be important to them if they purposefully just ordered the side salad and one drink. Like they, but I.
They should say
I
that.
I think so.
But everyone else is like.
Unless there's alcohol being, if certain people are getting alcohol, then I don't think. I honestly don't think that people should have to pay for alcohol because it's exorbitantly more than a meal. That's what
How
I think.
How about everyone just get separate checks?
Yeah, that's a great solution. Yes. Yeah, that's a great solution.
Or one person goes, I'll put it all on my card. Can you guys all Venmo me? That's the way to do it. But if if it's like a birthday dinner or something like that, and it's like, it just gets... I get both sides. I'm just saying the itemized thing that Amanda is talking about. Not this. The fact that this woman asked you for money is insane to me. It's insane.
Is she just not listening to you when you talk?
That's what
I wonder. Do you need to actually just sit down and have a specific conversation about money rather than just like walking around her house, watching TV, being like, yeah, I went to the food bank. Like, is she just not listening?
That's what I think this woman. OK, because I understand like everyone's in their own world. Everyone, even if you perceive them to be really well off, still they can be having their own financial issues. Like that is just reality. Sure. This woman is obviously not, as Gabby said, reading the room. And so there's a little bit of grace you can give someone like that, but at a certain, and especially if you've communicated, I would say if the friendship means a lot to you, it's worth it to just like have one sort of light communication being like, I got to say, like, I'm in a really hard financial spot right now. Make it about you. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, sometimes I feel insecure or something when you complain about finances, and make it about you. Mm-hmm. If the friendship is worth it to you. But to me, it's like I couldn't be friends with someone who sent me an email for a lunch.
Yeah.
An invoice.
Yeah.
No. No,
I don't like, I personally don't like that, but that's a trigger for me.
But I think that she gets one more chance for you to explain exactly what you explained in this email.
Yeah.
And then I think it's just hurtful to you. Like, it's not like, what am I doing wrong? It's like, this person's hurting your feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just not gracious.
Yeah, it's just like, if you can only go with friendship, you can only go on what the situation is that day. So like, sometimes people stay friends with people because they're like, well, we were friends in high school. And it's like, that person is completely abusive to you. Like, what? Like, so I think you just have to be like, look, here is my situation right now. Like, this is what's going on. It is worth just a regular conversation, like being like, hey, as my friend, I just want to let you know what's going on with me. And like, this is really stressing me out. And just like, don't even mention them. Like Amanda said, just be like, this is like one of my really big stressors right now. And just like, as my friend, I just need to vent.
Oh,
this.
That's good. You don't even bring up their behavior. You just make sure they understand where you're at. And this is what I'm afraid of, though, that they're going to go, oh my God, girl, me too. My investments. My interest on my trust fund was like nothing last month.
Oh my God.
And then that's the only reason why I'm nervous about that.
Yeah.
But then you know who they are. If they really can't get it, they really don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand how you can't. I don't know. I mean, maybe this person just grew up wealthy, but it's just, if I don't understand how you don't take into account other people's situations. But I don't know. I mean, I'm judging this person as if it was me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it might be.
Some people are just.
Which I do to everyone. Oh my God. Is she writing in about me? It's my fucking roommate. It's my roommate who wrote into your show. She's like, hi, I know you're going to have Gabby Dunn as a guest. And she sent me an itemized list.
She will say that she got it. It's no big deal. Of course, you don't have to pay for it. I need to tell you, she asked for the money.
I literally like barely asked for rent. I'm like, whatever.
It's hard asking people for money like that. Like, that always has been an awkward thing to me. Be like, hey, are you going to be able to like pay for, like, there's just nothing in me that like wants to take from other people like that are like on the same level as me or not, you know, making any money. It's like,
if a friend of mine said like that they were struggling like directly, I would take that into account. I think the problem comes in when people lie or they pretend to have more money than they do, or they pretend like, you know, they like put on a big show and like are like, oh, I did this and I did that. But like, then you kind of go, you know, like people who are like, oh, I sold this piece to the Vanity Fair or whatever. But and so you go in your mind, you're like, wow, that must be so much money. But then in reality, it's like, you know, they gave you $500 or whatever, not to say that that's what you pay Vanity Fair. But I'm just saying like the perception of people, what makes people rich isn't always the reality.
Yeah.
Or what gives people money or income.
Especially in Hollywood.
Oh, it looks way better than it pays, baby.
Yes, it does. And it doesn't look that good. Well, Gabby, thank you so much for being on. I think we got to a lot. We got to the bottom of a lot, and we also only scratched the surface on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, I feel like I was a chaotic guest because it's the end of the day.
No, I think you were right on par.
My computer's on 12%. Like,
we got to get you out of here.
I feel like I just came in like a wrecking ball, and like,
it's a good energy to have, though. I think it's helpful, actually, because Maria and I are.
Thank you.
You know.
You can sense what we are. We're just kind of waiting in this water.
People like it when a new energy comes in.
Oh, I like you guys' energy, and I And I just laugh so hard. It's just so lovely.
Oh, thanks. Well, where can people find you? Tell everyone how to get everything you have and where to find you and everything.
You can go to GabbyDunn.com, GABYDUNN. And then I'm on Instagram at Gabby Road, GABYROAD, which is a Beatles pun. I'm so sorry. Yeah, and then the Bad With Money book and the two other books that Allison and I wrote together are called I Hate Everyone But You and Please Send Help. And then the comic book is called Bury the Lead. And then
no one's getting after you for comic book anymore, huh? It's not a graphic novel anymore.
Graphic novel, sorry.
Wow.
And then they listen to this show. The Bad With Money podcast is new, brand new. It's out now. Go listen to it.
Great.
It's so good.
Well, this has been wonderful. All right. Well, thanks you guys for listening to
The Big Ones.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.